And with me today is my resident philosopher. So if you've got moral questions, philosophical questions that relate to your life, philosophy underlies your psychology, your daily life with your family members and friends and co-workers, it's all philosophy, even though most of us don't know it as that. We just know it as, oh, he was mean to me. That wasn't fair. Hey, it's philosophy. That's an injustice. And with me is Dr. Andrew Bernstein, who's an expert in this area and a lot of fun and very, very knowledgeable. Andy?
Right here, Ellen.
Right before the break, I said to you, I put myself in the shoes of actually someone that I spoke with last week who said to me, I don't know why you would be upset at the Brown University students. Yeah, you sat in on their alleged, they didn't say alleged, but their peace meetings, and you went to the International Socialist Organization meetings, and you heard that they want to kill Americans, and you heard that they want to chant and scream across the cafeteria tables. But, I mean, I did this when I was young, and these are just vibrant students whose minds are alive, and they have a right to be anti-American. I mean, what right have you to say that this is wrong?
Well, the major point to me, I'm not primarily concerned with the students, it's their teachers who I think are morally despicable here. I think the teachers are, so many of the humanities professors are simply indoctrinating these kids with the most virulent anti-capitalist, anti-American propaganda, completely overlooking the fact that the United States is, one, the freest country in history, and two, the most prosperous country in history. And so that they're attacking the very foundations of liberty and prosperity. The truth is that these oppressive dictatorships around the world who murder their own people and who keep those people in the most abysmal poverty, that's where we should be directing our outrage. Those oppressive dictatorships, whether they're communist or Islamic or whatever, have got to be torn down and replaced with free societies, and consequently the people in the third world can be as free and as prosperous as us.
Okay, I'm going to be the... go ahead.
These professors are guilty of a moral inversion. They're attacking the good for being good, and they're defending the evil.
Very interesting.
They're profoundly evil, and I think their freedom of speech is certainly is sacred, is guaranteed, but so is ours. They're free to spew out their hatred of the United States, and we're free to defend the good and to identify them.
But they call that hate mail. They call that hate mail.
Well, I do hate them.
No. Yeah.
I do hate them, and I think hate is rationally justifiable in some instances. I hate Hitler, and
yes.
I think it's completely rational to hate him, and I think it's irrational not to. And I hate Stalin and Pol Pot and Mao and Castro and the Taliban and Bin Laden and all of these murderers, and I think it's completely rational to hate them. I think it's irrational not to. They murder innocent human beings. They make human life on Earth impossible, and I think we not only have the right to hate them, I think morally we must take them, and we must kill them. Now, with the Marxist professors, they have a right to free speech. They're not murderers, not in a physical sense, but they are murderers in the intellectual sense. It's their ideas that spread this propaganda and spread these ideas that foster these evil regimes and that disarm us morally. Ellen, these Marxist professors are trying to take away our belief in our moral right to defend ourselves, leaving us helpless against the bad guys. Now, that is despicable. And I think, yes, they have a right to freedom of speech, and so do we. We have to speak out and point out to the American people how evil they are and how the American people finally, and American corporations finally, have to take actions against these Marxist professors in the universities.
You know, when I went to Brown, I felt guilty for being an American. I read about how Americans were so imperialistic because we're into other countries, not minding our own business. We're trying to, as you might say, export our freedom, but that's not what they said, that we're barging in, trying to take over their countries, and also there were so many poor in the world, and we're somehow responsible for that, and our humanitarian aid is not enough. We should give them more, and we should have a bake sale for the military, said one poster in one of my professor's offices. It wasn't my professor, but it was on the campus. This wasn't at Brown. This was at another school. The military should have a bake sale, and we should send all the rest of the money to daycare. I mean, there was a pervasive anti-American sentiment that I picked up for a while. And I felt guilty for being, instead of proud of being American, I felt guilty. What are they doing there? What's the method?
Well, that's the goal. They want us to feel guilty for our freedom and for our prosperity, so as to morally disarm us and make sure that we're so guilty that we're unwilling to defend ourselves against these murderers who attack us. Now, the truth is that there is no poverty in any capitalist country, whether it's in the United States or in Western Europe or in Japan or Hong Kong or Taiwan. Every prosperous nation on earth is capitalist. Even the so-called socialist countries of Scandinavia have a great deal of private ownership and a great deal of capitalism there. And every dictatorship, whether socialist or fascist or military dictatorship or Islamic, theocratic dictatorship, every dictatorship around the world is poverty-stricken. And so the truth is that if somebody was sincerely wanted to help the poor, they'd be on their hands and knees praying or begging for capitalism. Because what these countries around the world need is a capitalist system. In order to have a capitalist system, they have to believe in freedom, they have to believe in the mind, they have to believe in reason, i.e. they need the basic premises of Western civilization. In opposing capitalism and opposing Western civilization, the very engines that generate prosperity, they show they do not care about the poor. What they care about is making sure that we become poor, by giving away our money to these countries that whose cultures make it impossible for them to become rich, thereby squandering every cent we have without helping them, because they need a capitalist system to become wealthy. They're interested in tearing us down, not in building up the poor. If they want to help the poor, they'd be over there in these third world countries teaching them how to become more capitalistic in their society.
And we'd be teaching them that on our university. I want to turn now to the phones and invite Louis on. Louis, you've got a question for Andy.
Oui, bonsoir.
Okay, you're from where?
I'm from Quebec.
Quebec.
I'm from a country that tried a multicultural system, and the only thing that it accomplished was it made everybody mad. And I've got a question for your good doctor. I wonder, you being so well-versed, could you please explain to the auditoire, how did the land of the free become the world's leading jailer? Could you explain that?
Could you give an example, Lou?
Your prison system. You have more people behind bars than in the bad days of the old USSR.
Okay.
Could you explain that to the...
Okay, Andy, I don't know whether I can, but go ahead, Andy, and thank you very much for your call, Lou.
First of all, the minor point here is I'm not sure whether or not that's true, but the major point is I think we need to put more people behind bars. We have a bunch of criminals roaming the street in our cities, fueled by the rise of the welfare state in the last 40 years. We have too many people who belong behind bars who aren't behind bars. So the question is not why do we have so many people behind bars. The question is why do we have so many criminals roaming the streets. We need more prisons. We need to put more people behind bars. The reason people behind bars in a capitalist system is because they're criminals. Unlike in the USSR or in Cuba or in China or in a communist dictatorship or in an Islamic dictatorship where people are behind bars for political reasons, i.e. for speaking out against the government. So that's a key distinction that good old Louis needs to make.
Yeah, and you know what? Their countries are behind bars. They're already in prison. If you went behind the Iron Curtain, those are the iron bars that they're already in. So,
yeah,
and our professors...
People are political prisoners in communist dictatorships. Whether they want to go, whether they want to go to Afghanistan or Iraq, I mean, they want to come to the United States. They'll swim here from Cuba.
Right. Ilian Gonzalez is a very sad case. I want to go to the phones again. Dale, you can ask your question right before the break, and we'll answer you after the break.
Okay. How are you doing, Dr. Bernstein and Dr. Stennett?
Oh, very well. What's your question?
The question is, I can find plenty of things out there to irritate in the area where I work, like Cambridge, Mass. Or Amherst. Where do you see the hope being in getting the message out there and getting people actually able to follow through on it and prepare out this war, because it's probably going to be a pretty difficult one?
Okay, so you're looking for signs of hopefulness against the terrorism.
Yes, and what to work for, where to put my energies into good use.
Okay. When we get back after the break, Angie, you can think about that. I know that I walked out on the Brown University campus, and in tribute to Brown, to a few good students at Brown, I looked and there were chalkings on the ground, and I thought, oh, no, more Marxist slogans. And instead, the chalking said, "War up, face reality. Fight for justice, USA. Well done, America. If you don't support the USA, leave. Peace is good. Peace with justice is even better. Get ready for war." When we get back, we'll talk about how to keep your optimism with Dr. Andy Bernstein and Dr. Ellen Kenner on the rational basis of happiness.